No single figure has been more associated with Atlantic City casinos than Donald Trump, now the Republican presidential frontrunner. Matt Katz of New Jersey Public Radio took a trip to Atlantic City to find out more about his history there and his legacy.
Reuben Kramer covers the casino industry for the Press of Atlantic City. He begins every day by checking the docket for new court filings on Trump Taj Mahal, which is bankrupt. Its employees have lost health coverage and are suing. Technically, Trump himself no longer owns the place.
But you can't talk about what's going on in Atlantic City and what's going on with Trump Entertainment Resorts without talking about the history and the context, and that history and context at the center of it is Donald Trump.
After legal casinos first opened here in 1978, Trump, the son of a real estate developer from Queens, started buying property. He won over regulators and gamblers and seemed to outwit competitors and the banks. He eventually opened three casinos, all named after himself: the Trump Plaza, Trump Castle, and finally the jewel in his golden crown, the Trump Taj Mahal.
By being brash, by being outspoken, by being at times unbridled, benefited the resort in a lot of ways because people were, are, and will probably continue to be enamored with Donald Trump.
At the historic meeting of showbiz and big biz, music's magic man and the Midas mogul ran the media gauntlet to open the world's glitziest casino.
The opening of the Taj Mahal in 1990 was covered on Robin Leach's Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Trump even had Michael Jackson at his side.
Away from the throng, I asked Donald if bringing in Michael was his ultimate Trump card.
To have Michael at the Taj Mahal, he's my friend, he's a tremendous talent, and it's really my honor. It's a big day for me.
Yet within a year of its opening, the Taj filed for bankruptcy. Trump had overleveraged. He had too much debt at interest rates he couldn't afford. There would be three more bankruptcies of Trump properties, and he has virtually no financial stake left in the city. At the presidential debate earlier this month, Chris Wallace asked Trump about the last bankruptcy in 2009.
Lenders to your company lost over $1 billion and more than 1,100 people were laid off. Is that the way that you'd run the country?
Let me tell you about the lenders. First of all, these lenders aren't babies. These are total killers. These are not the nice, sweet little people that you think, okay?
But Reuben Kramer, the reporter at the Press of Atlantic City, says it wasn't just the banks that lost out.
Small-time investors, individual bondholders who might have invested in the Trump casinos through their retirement account, or vendors who might have been purveyors supplying produce, also got stiff.
Kramer and I visit the shuttered Trump Plaza, which will likely be torn down. Trump's name has been scrubbed from the facade. Only the gaudy golden crest remains. Karen Gatto from Allentown, Pennsylvania, passed by the locked boardwalk entrance to the casino. She doesn't blame Trump for leaving Atlantic City over business reasons.
He gets credit for bringing life into Atlantic City. I mean, really, who else do you think of? You think of Trump.
Kramer agrees. Trump brought attention to Atlantic City with concerts and boxing matches and WrestleMania. At one point, Trump was one of the biggest employers in South Jersey. Today, all that remains of his brand is the Trump Taj Mahal, where Trump has licensed his name but has no ownership stake.
If you define success as building sustainable, long-term businesses that benefit you and others, I think he failed abjectly. If you define success as being scrappy and doing everything you can do to remain personally solvent and live to make money another day, well, Donald Trump may have been very successful in Atlantic City from that viewpoint.
Even without a financial stake, the Trump name is still ever present. At the Trump Taj Mahal, his picture is on the wall and the newsstand is called the Trump Times. The Donald may be gone, but he's not forgotten. For WNYC, I'm Matt Katz.